Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, coming to your homes live from Portland, Oregon. We are a people of worship, work, and prayer, ready to serve the Lord, ready to serve with the community, and ready to withstand the enemy. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. It is our prayer that during our worship experience, that your love for God will be intensified, your faith be stirred, your hands get to clapping, and your feet get to dancing. After this song of preparation, be prepared to join Pastor Kimberly K. Black and the Greater St. Stephen's Church family as we bless the Lord.
your name. Come on, can we do that right now? Just welcome him. Come on.
Oh, we worship you,
yes,
Jesus.
We do, Lord.
We magnify your name. Oh, oh, you're so worthy.
Hallelujah. Come on, welcome him tonight. Come on, come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome into this place. Thank you for coming to worship with the Greater St. Stephen's missionary team. Thank you so much. I am Elder Farmer, your presider this morning. Want to give an acknowledgement and a thanks and a special shout out to the angel of the house, Pastor Kimberly Black, Pastor Sherelle Pennington, as well as the deacon, deaconesses, and the mothers, brothers and sisters of the church. It is my honor to be able to preside with you this morning in our worship service. Our program this morning, our devotional reading will be from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10, and that will be read by Brother Farrell Mack, followed by our morning hymn by Deaconess Thelma Harris. Our morning prayer will be by Deacon Rayford Gwynn, followed by our exhortation of worship by Sister Kamisha Black Joyner. And following our praise and worship this morning, we'll have our mission statement be read by Brother Jeremiah Jointer, followed by our pastoral observations by the angel of the house, Pastor Kimberly Black. And I will come back with the spoken word, followed by our benediction by Brother Irie Mays Jr.
Good morning, everyone. This is Brother Farrell Mack, and I'll be reading from the New Translation Bible. And again, I'll be reading Psalms 25, 1 through 10. Hope everyone's found that. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced. But disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, put my hope in you.
Yes.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth.
My Lord.
Remember me in the light your unfailing love. For you are merciful, O Lord.
Yes, you are.
The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. Again, I just read to you Psalms 1 through 10, Psalm 25, 1 through 10. May God add a blessing to the hearers, the reader, and the doer of his word. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church family. He's so real, He has washed all my sins away. Jesus' love just bubbles over in my soul, in my soul. He's so real, real in my soul today. He has washed all my sins away. Jesus' love just bubbles over in my soul, in my soul. Some people doubt the Lord. They don't even believe in his word. They even try to make you think that God is dead. But oh, he's so real, he's so real, he's real in my soul today. He has washed all my sins away. Jesus' love just bubbles over. Jesus' love just bubbles over. Jesus' love just bubbles over in my soul, in my soul. Something. They don't even believe in his word. They even try to make you think that God is dead. But oh, he's so real, he's so real, he's real in my soul today. He has washed all my sins away. Jesus' love just bubbles over in my soul. Hallelujah.
Gracious Father, Almighty God, once again we boldly come to your throne of grace to give thanks and praise to you, my Heavenly Father. We thank you for our lying down last night and our awakening this morning. Father God, you woke us this morning with our right mind and started us on our way, my Heavenly Father. We give thanks to you. Father God, help us through this day. It's the day that you have made. We'll rejoice in it and be glad in it, my Heavenly Father. Father God, we worship you this morning, and we give thanks to you, and we praise you, my Heavenly Father. Thank you for all you've done for us and what you're doing for us. And we thank you for the food we have. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the air we breathe. We thank you for the love you give to us. We thank you for everything. We can't thank you enough, my Heavenly Father. We take nothing for granted. Father God, we love you on this day. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. We praise you. You're worthy to be praised, my Heavenly Father. Let everything have breath. Praise you, my Heavenly Father. We just thank you and we love you, my Heavenly Father. And we adore you, my Heavenly Father. Father God, we ask you to lift us up this morning, to give us the strength and the health and everything that we need, my Heavenly Father. Bless us with good health. Bless us with love and everything that we need, my Heavenly Father, because we know you're an awesome God. You're a good God. You're a graceful God. You're a lovable God. And we just love you, and we adore you, my Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I pray that you bless all of Greater St. Stephen's Church family, all the shut in and afflicted, and lift up Mother Gloria, Mother Mays, Mother Kimmel, Mother Harris, all the mothers of the church, my Heavenly Father. Touch them, my Heavenly Father, where there's pain in their bodies as they've grown old, my Heavenly Father. And continue to bless them, my Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask you to bless Brother Kimmons, and that his eyesight will return to him, and that he don't lose his eyesight, my Heavenly Father. But we all just have to keep praying for him in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask you to lift up Sister, I can't think of her name right now, but I know she has a health problem. Sister Menifee, I believe that's her name. But we ask you to lift up this morning, my Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask you to lift up our pastor this morning and continue your blessing on her and give her what she needs and everything to continue her ministry and bless her family. Lift up Minister Minnewella and her praise and her worship this morning, my Heavenly Father. Bless Elder Farmer and his ministry, my Heavenly Father. Lift up Pastor Sorrell, my Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask you to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Father God, cast not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation and uphold us with your free spirit, my Heavenly Father. Purge us with hyssop, my Heavenly Father, and we shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and and gladness that the bones which die is broken, which we had, and they rejoice. Hide their face on our sins and blot out all our iniquities, my Heavenly Father. Father God, we ask you to continue to bless us, continue to give us what we need, and what we keep us in good health, my Father, and continue your blessings on us, my Heavenly Father. Father God, we pray for the city this morning. We pray for the judges. We pray for the commissioners. We pray for the policemen. And we pray for all the governors and all the mayors and all the cities that they can get their cities together and stop their violence and all the violence that's going on, my Heavenly Father. Lift them up this morning, my Heavenly Father. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you to continue your blessings on us. We love you. We adore you. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, church family. I will be coming from Psalms 47. Verse 1 reads, come, everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with a joyful praise, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king of all the earth. He subdues the nations before us, putting our enemies beneath our feet. He chooses the promised land as our inheritance, possession of Jacob's descendants, who he loves. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let us prepare our hearts and our minds to praise God, to worship him in the beauty of his light,
this morning. We come with no other reason to give God all the glory and all the honor, for it is due unto him. We come now begging the presence of the Lord to fill up the place that we're in, oh God. We come asking you to touch now, God. Pour out a fresh anointing now, God, as we prepare our hearts and our minds to think on the great things that you have done for us, oh God. You have been our healer, oh God. You have been our protector, oh God. You have been our provider, oh God. You have been the lover of our souls, oh God. You have been the watchman of our nights, oh God. You have provided in the way that no other person, human being, has ever done for us. So now, God, we lift up our holy hands, oh God. We declare the place that we're in a holy sanctuary because we feel your presence, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for your presence, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for the time that we will spend in worship and praise into you, oh God. We come now, oh God, exalting you, oh God, making you big, oh God, feeling your presence, oh God. We come now, God, asking you to destroy broken yokes, oh God, to break chains, oh God. Let your power be felt and deliverance come forth on your people now, God. We praise you, oh God. We worship you, oh God. We adore you now, God. We magnify your holy name, oh God. Oh, how we love you, oh God. How we love you, oh God. We love you today, oh God. So right now, oh God, we open up our mouths and we give you the highest praise, oh God. We shout hallelujah, oh God. We shout hallelujah, oh God. We give you glory and honor, oh God, because we owe you another praise, oh God. So right now, oh God, we clap our hands, oh God, in defeating the enemy, oh God. We slap him in his face, oh God. Right now, oh God, we lift up hands and surrender it to you, oh God, to have your way in this service, oh God, to have your way in this worship experience, oh God. Allow your fresh anointing to come over us, oh God, so that we feel your presence, oh God. We feel your love, oh God. We feel your joy, oh God. Give us the desires of our heart, oh God, as we love on you, oh God, as we worship you for who you are and praise you for what you've done, oh God. We love you, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. Oh, how we love Jesus. Oh, how our soul loves you, oh God. Oh, how we worship and adore you, oh God. Thank you, God, for this collective time that we come together to praise and worship you, oh God, to kneel before your feet, oh God, and seek your face, oh God, how we come chasing after you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for your presence, oh God. Thank you for your fresh anointing that's going to fall fresh, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You, oh God, from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, we worship you, we worship you, oh God. We honor you, we honor you, we honor you, oh God.
people, I need y'all to come right down here in front of the stage. Get that camera on him. Come on.
Transform this community by developing fishers of men and women. It is our goal to catch and cultivate the lost that they may have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which will cause them to celebrate him, commune with the saints, and work with us to fulfill the Great Commission.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Well, my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you today, but my soul is rejoicing in the Lord. Ooh. Hallelujah. My soul is rejoicing in the Lord. Thank God for our men's ministry and the help of the sisters. Amen. For ushering us into the presence of the Lord. We just truly thank God for our presider today, Elder Farmer, and to Brother Farrell for giving us our morning devotional reading. Thank God. Deaconess Harris reminded us that Jesus is real. And I don't know about you today, but he is real in my soul today. Yes. He has washed all my sins away. And Jesus, his love just, I heard you, Deaconess, it just bubbles over. Yes. Bubbles over. Yes. Does his love bubble over in your soul today? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are just thankful, Sister Deacon Gwen, for giving us that fervent prayer, and Sister Kamisha for getting us to that place where we're ready to worship the Lord, and to Brother Maya for giving to us our statement today. We thank God for each of you who have come to worship with us on today. We just honor Elder Farmer, Elder Manyweather, and our deacon and our mothers and each of you. We thank God that you came to worship with us on today. And we've been in having a hallelujah good time thus far. And I know that the Lord is going to take us higher in his prayer, his praise, and our worship experience. I'm here to say welcome to all of our first-time worshipers. I am Pastor Kimberly Black, and I just want you to know that we are honored that you chose to come and worship with us today by calling in. And if you are worshiping with us for the first time, or you are a guest of someone and you would love to say hello, to let us know that you are worshiping with us, and to let the person who invited you know that you did make it to worship. You wasn't late. You was on time. You was receiving you received a blessing from the Lord. If you want to say hello and give us a shout out of praise, of thanksgiving, we'd like to bring you on live on the line. All you have to do is press 1. And I will bring you on live just to say hello to us. We get excited when we have family and friends coming to worship with us. And if we were at home, we would clap and cheer, and we would hug on you and love on you. But since we have to do this thing social distancing, we still want to love on you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We still want to show you that we love you, that we appreciate God for giving you the opportunity to come and worship with us. And we do have a love token for you from our hospitality ministry. So I do have a caller. Your last 4 digits are 2974. Area code is 725. You are live on the line.
God bless. This is Gloria Harris. I am Thelma Harris's younger daughter, and I'm joining you this morning. But I've actually been on before, but I've never, pushed 1. So I just wanted to
thank you for the
invitation.
Well, amen. Well, we are so glad that you chose today to press 1. Such a joy to hear your voice on this morning. And we hope and pray that you've been worshiping with us before and you came back. So I'm excited to know that something was said, something was done to encourage you and to spark that love relationship that you have for the Lord, to intensify it and to and cause you to say, I got to get with the saints today. So thank you for coming to worship with us. We will be contacting you to get your mailing address so that our hospitality ministry can send you something in the mail from us. Thank you for pressing one today. Thank you, Amen. Sister Gloria. Yeah. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We are truly thankful to God for all of our family and friends that come to worship with us. And we give him glory. We give him honor. And I'm sorry if I cut you off and you were talking. I'm sorry. I am sorry. But we're just truly thankful that God, I thought you were through talking. If you're not through, I can bring you back on. I'm going to bring you back on, sister. I heard you say something. Was you done talking, Sister Harris?
Yeah, I was just saying God bless. And I love you, Mommy. I know she's
all
listening.
Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank God.
Amen. So we are just truly grateful. Well, I have a few announcements that I want to make and bring to your attention. And then we're going to be ready for the word. Our own Elder Dante Farmer is going to come before us to bring the word to us today. So I want you to be ready. Get your pen, your pencil, get your Bible. If you don't have a Sunday school book. If you have a Sunday school book, we're on page 341. If you don't have a Sunday school book, we're going to 2 Kings. That's in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. If you have the Sunday school book, we're on page 341. So I want y'all to be ready. I'm going to make these announcements. The next voice you will hear will be the son of the house, Elder Dante Farmer. Amen. We're truly grateful to Elder Farmer for his work that he does in the kingdom and advancing the kingdom of God. We ask that the church family keep him covered in prayer. He is a family man. He is a lover of God's word. He is a community mentor. He is a son of the house, and we're just truly grateful to him. He is a father. He is a son. But most of all, he is a born-again Christian man who was walking and talking the walk. Amen. And so we are getting ready to hear from him after these couple of announcements. I have a few announcements, and then our own Sister Yolanda Mays will be coming with an announcement. So I want to let you know we are getting ready for Let me get my dates together. We are getting ready to go into the shelter. Amen. We will be going to provide dinner. We cannot enter in yet because of COVID, but that doesn't mean we're not going to do ministry like Jesus. We quarterly provide dinner to the residents that live at the Willamette TPI shelter. And so this month, as we prepare to celebrate spring and to celebrate Holy Week, we're going to dress their tables with some beautiful, colorful tablecloth and then put some little flowers on each of their tables. And so we are going to do that, and the staff is going to decorate the room for us. And we are going to send dinner. And so we want to ask you to continue to pray for our outreach ministry. They have been working so hard to make sure that we stay up on doing what the church is supposed to be doing, and that is being missional and not being stationary. Come on, somebody. If you was on the line last Sunday night at 8 o'clock, you know the difference between missionary and stationary, because your pastor preached about it on the Light of Portland. So we want to encourage you to pray for us as we continue to do the work that God has assigned our hands to. And then on Sunday, March 28th, it is Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of Holy Week. This is the most celebrated in Christendom and the body of Christ. This ought to be the most celebrated week of our lives. This ought to be the most, if you've never been closer to God and all of the 52 weeks, this should be the week that you demonstrate your love, your appreciation to him. And it starts on Sunday, March 28th, Palm Sunday. We will be having a special little service, nothing extra, but during our morning worship, we will be hearing more about Palm Sunday. And then on Thursday, April the 1st, which is Monday, Thursday, we will be providing desserts to our first responders and the essential workers at the Piedmont Marquis Nursing Home. So we have four fire stations that we will be delivering desserts to, and to the essential workers at the Piedmont Marquis. We will be taking them dessert in honor of Monday Thursday. You're going to hear more about Monday Thursday, but Monday Thursday, we find the example of servanthood. We find the example of servanthood from Monday Thursday. And so even though we can't come together to provide each other with the exercise of the washing of the feet, because that's what Jesus did for his disciples right before his right before he was crucified, right before he was betrayed, he washed the disciples' feet. And he told us that we must do service one to another. And since we can't literally come together to wash each other's feet, we will be doing two service outreach events. The first one, desserts to our essential workers at the fire station and to the essential workers at the Piedmont Nursing Facility. We will also be collecting socks for our houseless brothers and sisters. Yes, we are showing love and giving a service to our houseless brothers and sisters. I need you all to hear the terminology that Pastor is using, because this is important that as we do ministry, we also be politically correct, because don't nobody want us to walk up on them and say, I know you homeless. They're houseless because, you know, their home is what they make it. Amen. Come on, somebody. So we want to honor and show love to our houseless brothers and sisters. So we will be collecting 100 white crew socks. 100 white crew socks. Well, let me tell you, we are already at that mark. Don't stop giving. Don't stop sending the socks, because the more we get, the more we can bless. And if we ain't up to doing something, God sees no reason to give us his grace and his favor. So I want to you, my brothers and sisters, please, please send us your socks, your white crew socks. You can send us money, or you can send us the socks. If you shop at Amazon, you can use Amazon. Make sure you use Amazon Prime. Thank you, Brother Farrell, for reminding us that. And if you don't have Amazon Prime, you can reach out to me. Just send your gift, your donation to 1725 Northeast Morgan Street, Portland, Oregon. Or you can go on Amazon. You can order the socks yourself and use this as the shipping address. So we want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, help us continue to do ministry like Jesus. And we have socks coming. We have donations coming. And I'm asking that you would keep them coming. Amen. Thank you so much for the work that you do for us. And then on Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m., we will be having a Monday Thursday worship experience. And I'm excited about what God has given to us Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. You can call this very same number to join us for a worship experience like none other. And we will be having our very own Monday Thursday worship experience. That will be Thursday, April the 1st at 7 o'clock p.m. Then I want you to join us for our Good Friday worship experience. That's going to be Friday night, April the 2nd at 7 o'clock p.m. We have seven dynamic men and women of God coming to present to us the seven last sayings of Jesus from the cross. So I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to join us for our worship experience. We are really grateful to God for what Jesus did for us on Calvary, and we're coming together to commemorate and to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's Holy Week. Want you to remember that we are going to be ready to give God the highest. Then I want to share with you what's going on in the city. Amen. St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church presents a 2021 stewardship conference. This is how do we do stewardship in a pandemic? God favors our time, our talent, and our treasure. This is going to be a Zoom presentation on Friday, March the 26th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. and Saturday, March the 27th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Their special guest is Dr. P. Wayne Oliver. This is hosted by Pastor Craig Lamar Brown of the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. And I will give out that Zoom information. The meeting ID is 753-501-3302. The password is 214257. I will be giving this announcement out again tonight during the Light of Portland broadcast. Our speaker is none other than our own sister, Pastor Pamela Laws from Mapleton, Georgia. So you will hear this announcement again at the Light of Portland broadcast, and then I will give the announcement again on Wednesday night during our fellowship, prayer, and Bible study time. Amen. Just want to remind you that we are gathering together. I thank God our men's ministry met on Friday night for prayer. So I'm letting all of our men know every third Friday at 7 o'clock, our men come together for prayer. So I want to encourage you, invite men that you know to join us. It's not open. It's not a closed prayer time, but it is a prayer time for men to come together and fall on their face and go before the Lord. That's every third Friday night. And then on Tuesday and Thursday night at 9 p.m., our church family, we come together for prayer. That's everybody, the young, the old, the crippled, the blind, the crazy, the good, the bad, the beautiful, can come together and pray. The Bible said men ought to always pray. So every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m., we gather together for prayer. And then on Sunday, Wednesday night at 6:45, we have fellowship and Bible study. So I want to encourage you to join us Wednesday and Tuesday. That number is 774-220-4000. 774-220-4000. And the code is 55558#. That's Tuesday, Thursday at 9 p.m., Wednesday at 6:45. Well, saints of God, amen. Then there's noonday prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mother Kimmins. Hosted by our own Elder Kathy Miniweather. That number every day, Monday through Friday, noonday prayer. That call-in number is 978-990-5278. That's 978-990-5278. And that code is 380-2733. When you get to heaven, the Lord will say, y'all sure enough know how to pray. Because Greater St. Stephen's is a praying church. And we thank God. We thank God for all of you that work so diligently to make sure that we are fulfilling the Great Commission inside of the church and outside of the church. Amen. All right. Well, that's all of the announcements that I have. Please don't forget, thank you. I want to say this. I have to say it every week. Thank you for sending in your tithes and your offering. God has been good to us, and God is continuing to bless us, and he blesses the work that we do. He blesses our hands. He blesses our bodies. He blesses us with creativity to do ministry. And so we're just truly grateful and thankful to God for that. So thank you for sending in your tithes and your offering. You can mail it to 1725 Northeast Morgan, Portland, Oregon, 97211, or you can drop it off, or you can use our Cash App. It's $GSSMBCPDX. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll have this community announcement. If you have not received the COVID-19 vaccination, and you would like to, Cascade Health and Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church will be teaming up the week of Easter. They have 400 doses of the Johnson & Johnson. That's a one-time shot. All the other vaccines are two doses. It's a one-time shot. If you would like to get your name on the list, please text me your date of birth and your phone number so that I can give your information to the Vancouver Avenue Church family. And then they will contact you with your appointment date and time. Do not send it in a group text. Send it to me only if you would like to receive the vaccination. That's going to be sponsored by the Cascade Health and the Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church. I thank God for blessing us to make sure that this is accessible to the community, those that want it, and that we can be partakers. You don't have to drive far to get it. You can just go up to MLK and Stanton and get the shot, because that's where they're doing it at. So at the Garlington Health Center. So it's right next door to Popeyes. You go in on the back side. There's a building that says Garlington Health Center. You go in, sign up. They give you a lunch, and you sit there for 15 minutes, and you can they observe you, and then you leave. So if you're interested, it's going to be during the week of Holy Week. They're taking names now. You can email, text me your name, your date of birth, and your phone number, and I will make sure that that information gets to the staff at Vancouver Avenue and the Cascadia Health Department. All right, saints of God, please govern yourselves accordingly. I'm going to yield the call over to our own sister Yolanda Patton Mays. Following her announcement, you will be in the hands of our own elder Dante Farmer. I thank you, my brothers and sisters, for joining our worship experience. I thank you for ushering us into the presence of the Lord. And I thank you for being good stewards over what God has given unto us. If you are out and about and making errands, running errands, just drive by the church every now and then and say, Lord, bless our buildings. Lord, protect our buildings. Drive by and look at the building. Don't just go through the community, but go and drive by and ask the Lord's blessings on our buildings. Ask him to continue to protect us. Ask him to make sure that we be that light that's shining in the community, even though they don't see us weekly. But go by and just pray for the building. And if you feel courage, the courage, walk the grounds. Amen. So we want to do that. It's kind of hard to find a park over there because people are not leaving their homes. So feel pull up in the driveway, plan to get out. But let's not forsake our building. So let's drive by, pick up the trash, say a prayer on the ground, sit on the porch to hang out for a minute. But let us not forsake our buildings. The weather is getting warmer, so let's do that. Brother Jerry is probably going to go and plant some flowers. So let's go by, let's water them, let's love on the building, even though we're not there. Let's not forsake our buildings. So thank you so much for all that you do for us to help us be the Church of Love on the Grove. Sister Yolanda Patton Mays.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to remind you all of our 16th Pastoral Appreciation Day. And this is just a time for you all to mark your calendars and save the date if you have not done so already. The church family is inviting, we're inviting the church family to join us as we have lunch with our pastor on Saturday, April 24th from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. We'll be meeting at St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, which is located at 8101 North Fisk Avenue. This is going to be a social distancing event, so we will be outside in the parking lot, so make sure to wear your mask. And we are also asking, you know, as we honor Pastor Black for her hard work and her dedication in the ministry, that you all will provide a special gift of $100. Thanks, everyone. Have a blessed day.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Angel of the House, Pastor Black, for this opportunity to share in God's Word this morning. For those who have our Sunday school lessons, like Pastor said, it would be on page 341. And for those who don't, our Bible study lesson will be coming from the Old Testament, that is the 2 Kings, chapter 22. Verses 14 through 20. Our theme this morning is Hoda, Prophet of Wisdom. Our aim for change this morning, we will analyze the prophetess Hoda's message from God, King Josiah, and reflect on Josiah's behavior after hearing the words of the book of the law and seek godly advice about their future. All that, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for allowing me to rise to witness your glory. Thank you for allowing me to witness your majesty, O Heavenly Father. Thank you for your grace, O Heavenly Father, and your tender mercies, O Heavenly Father. O Heavenly Father, right now I ask that you humble me. O Heavenly Father, may your spirit run through me. You anoint me at this time, O Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless me with wisdom and understanding, oh, Heavenly Father. Guide me, oh, Heavenly Father, to deliver the message that you will have me deliver. That, oh, Heavenly Father, those who hear may be edified, oh, Heavenly Father, and that you may be glorified. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you, I love you, and I praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Starting with the 14th verse of 2 Kings chapter 22. So Hilkiah, the priest, Ahikam, Akbar, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to the new quarter of Jerusalem to consult with the prophet Hoda. She was the wife of Shallum, son of Tekoa, son of Harhas, the keeper of the temple wardrobe. She said to them, "The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. Go back and tell the man who sent you. This is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this city and its people. All the words written in the scroll that the king of Judah has read will come true. For my people have abandoned me and offer sacrifices to pagan gods. And I am very angry with them for everything they have done. My anger will burn against this place and it will not be quenched. But go to the king of Judah who sent you to seek the Lord and tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the message you have just heard. You were sorry and humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I said against the city and its people, that this land will be cursed and become desolate. You tore your clothing in despair and wept before me in repentance, and I have indeed heard you, says the Lord. So I will not send the promised disaster until after you have died and been buried in peace. You will not see the disaster I am going to bring on this city. So they took her message back to the king. I have just read 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. May God add a blessing to the reader, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Some brief biblical background, people, places, and times. Josiah's revival. The three decades of Josiah's reign were among the happiest years experienced by Judah. They were characterized by peace, prosperity, and reform. King Josiah dedicated himself to pleasing God and led Israel in the renewed observance of the Mosaic Law. It is a testimony to the grace of God that a wicked king like Amon could have such a godly son and successor. At the age of 16, in the eighth year of his reign, Josiah personally began to seek after the God of David his father. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3. It was at this point that he began to purify Judah and Jerusalem from idolatry by destroying whatever he recognized as not belonging to the worship of the true God. 2 Kings 22, 1-2. Spiritual reform brought about by Josiah climaxes with renovating the temple, and in the process, he rediscovered the book of the law in the 18th year of his reign and the celebration of the Passover. 2 Kings 22, verse 8 through 23. Josiah's aim to turn his people back to true worship was so intense that he and the entire kingdom renewed their covenant with God. Following Hosiah's death in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 21, several kings succeeded him. Among them were Manasseh, 2 Kings 21, verse 1, Amon, 2 Kings 21, 19, and Josiah, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king of Judah. He reigned 31 years. The Bible affirms that he was one of Judah's best kings, 2 Kings 22, verse 19. Peace, prosperity, and political reform highlighted his reign. In Judah, the temple had fallen into despair, so Josiah gave consent to repair the temple by sending Shaphan, a scribe, to oversee the renovation. While the renovation was going on in Hilkiah, the high priest found a copy of the Book of the Law in the temple. Shaphan read the Book of the Law to Josiah, who tore his clothes after hearing the scribe's reading. The king was distressed because he realized that the nation of Judah was far from God in their morality, obedience, and spirituality. Therefore, Josiah called Hilkiah the priest, Shaphan, Ahikam, Shaphan's son, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, to inquire of God what the people should do to get right with him. So we're getting ready to go a little bit more in depth with verses 22 and 14. In regards to God's prophetess, Hodah. Hodah was the wife of Shallum, the wardrobe keeper, either of priestly vestments or royal robes. She lived in Jerusalem in what was called the Second District. Apparently, this was in the lower or southern section of Jerusalem. She was consulted on behalf of King Josiah. by Hilkiah, the chief priest Shaphan, the scribe, and others following the discovery of the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Although it is only recorded a few times, God spoke to his people through prophetesses, prominently Miriam, Deborah, and Isaiah's wife, are all described as prophetesses. Huldah accepted the book as the word of Yahweh, and with his authority prophesied judgment against Jerusalem and Judah after Josiah's death. It is noteworthy that although both Jeremiah and Zephaniah were prophesying at this time, it is she who was approached on this matter. A question being posed is, why do you go to different advisors at different times? And so we talked a little bit more about Josiah. See, Josiah was recorded as one of the good kings. He was recorded as one of the sons of David that followed after the ways of David. How David, even though he wasn't perfect and David made mistakes, David had a personal relationship with the living God of Israel, Yahweh. David knew right from wrong, but one of the things David never did was fall into idolatry. His kingdom wasn't just established because of his military experience. It wasn't because he was just popular with the people. No, David was called and anointed by God for a particular purpose. And even in David's reign, David had spiritual advisors around him that led him right. And see, as time went along, and see, God had already said in the book of Deuteronomy how kings supposed to govern his people and how they were supposed to walk before him and how they wasn't supposed to follow into idolatry and have many wives, because at the minute that they did that, it would cause their hearts to be lifted up. It would cause them to be puffed up with pride and thinking that they could do things their own way and fall away from the Lord. And this is what was prophesied in the book of the law before King David came about. But by the time it got to Solomon, those words that God spoke of how kings are supposed to rule and reign came to be true when Solomon, as mighty as he was in wisdom, fell into idolatry. And it caused the kingdom to be separated. It caused the kingdom to fall into idolatry, the northern and the southern kingdom, and to where God's word, he affirmed his promise on what would take place the minute that his people didn't worship him in spirit and in truth. So here it is, Josiah, coming down through the generations from David all the way down to Hezekiah. Josiah, he had it in his heart to follow God. So when they discovered, after doing these renovations and they discovered the book of the law that was missing for some time, and they heard the words of God preaching out to them and prophesying to them, they were condemned in their hearts. But this is one thing that King Josiah and King David had in common. They humbled themselves before God and asked for forgiveness. And so here it is. Josiah, after hearing of the reading of the law, just had it in his heart. Go to the prophetess. Go speak to her. Ask her, well, what are we to do right now in this time? And the prophetess gave them a message to return to the king, not a message of her speaking on her own will, on the things that she wanted to see done with the nation, not from somebody being in her ear and trying to sway things to have it her particular way. No, she was a servant of the God Most High, and she was faithful to the message that she received to give to the king. It it says in the book of Proverbs how if we're not surrounded by a multitude of advisors, plans fail. We just can't just be around just anybody just receiving advice from anybody. It has to be godly wisdom. It has to be godly advice. Any true leader, you know, is a true leader if they're being led by God. You know when a person is being led by God, when their actions, their character, their speech is in accord with God's word, because they're in line and submitting to the Spirit. Amen. God speaks to us in many different ways. Spoke through Hoda, one that was recognized by the people, one that was thought of to be a woman of integrity, a virtuous woman, a woman following after God's own heart. Here it is, the king of Israel, the king of Judah. When he found out how far in sin the nation has come, he had a duty as a leader over God's people to submit to God, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, to ask for forgiveness. And God had a message. God is speaking to us even today. His word never changes. So many times we hear now about how the Old Testament doesn't apply and how that was a different covenant that we are under. But in order to really know and understand God's grace, we got to know the law. We got to know what took place in history and how we done come so far and how we done separated from God. But God is showing us through his word on how to return. In verses 15 through 17, God's condemnation. When Hilkiah, Ahikam, Akbar, Shaphan, and Asaiah arrived at Hodesh, she gives them a message from the Lord God of Israel to take back to Josiah. However, the message was not an encouraging one. As Josiah had anticipated, Hodesh's prophecy was that of judgment. Jerusalem and its inhabitants would taste evil days, even as the book of the law prescribed. The reason for this impending disaster was clear. The Lord God would not tolerate open violations of his law. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. In 586 BC, destruction did come to Judah when Babylonia brought Judah to its knees. Hoda told the king's men that God would bring disaster on the land and the people because they have forsaken him. God wants us to keep our eyes on him so we won't fall prey to the gods of this world. So often we shift our focus away from God onto others, other people, and other things. Let's make sure we are tuned to what the Lord wants to do so we won't be condemned like Judah. What daily practices help us to remember to worship God alone than modern idols of work or comfort or success? God speaks about this in many different ways, in the Old Testament and New Testament, about idolatry. God tells us not to conform to the ways of this world, but to be renewed by the renewing of our minds, so that the work that we do for God in his name is good, acceptable, and perfect. Greater is he who is in us than he who is of this world. And this is what God is trying to relate to his people. I want you to be better than this. I created you better than this. Even in words of judgment, and when we see disaster, God is still in the midst. Hallelujah. God is still the one who gives us that grace to continue on. Even when things seem that it's all out of whack and that the storms around us will cause us to be overwhelmed and just to give up and lose hope. When God disciplines us, he disciplines us to correct us because he loves us. Because if he didn't discipline us or correct us, we will be illegitimate children of God. But hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, we are not illegitimate children. No, we are not. We are sons and daughters of the God Most High because of what he did by sending his son, Jesus Christ, in order for us to be forgiven. There is nothing that we can give back to God or do to repay that debt. Sometimes people look at judgments just as a curse. But God uses it in order to discipline us, in order for us to have that right relationship with him. So therefore, we stand not on the world's word, but on God's word, that solid rock, who is Jesus Christ. That's a characteristic of a leader, especially in Josiah, how he was able to humble himself, the king of Judah. Lord, I messed up. Lord, we have forsaken you. Our fathers have sinned. Forgive us, Lord. What is it that you would have us to do? Josiah's repentance was not by actions, just of lip service. It wasn't just Josiah saying, Lord, forgive me because of what my fathers and what we have done. But he was saying, Lord, forgive us. Lord, show us what we are to do right now. There is no separations with God. God created us all equal in the image of his son. Some of us are still having identity crisis on do we want to be of the world? Are we children of the Most High God in the image of Christ Jesus? See, Josiah wasn't confused. He remembered the stories of King David, and he remembered the stories of King Solomon. He remembered the stories of how the kingdom was divided and how God raised up these nations, Assyria and Babylonia, in order to bring about discipline and correction and judgment. But God is a merciful God. When he seen it, that it was in their hearts, not just on the lips or just because of the work that they were doing, but because it was in their hearts to seek God and to seek his wisdom on where are we to go, Father? Show us the way. God sent them to his messenger who delivered the message on what was to come. God's affirmation, as is so often the case, God's prophecy of doom concludes with a glimmer of hope. Hallelujah. The prophetess Huldah speak another word to the messengers for the king. Josiah would experience God's mercy and grace because he humbled himself before the Lord and had a tender heart. Josiah humbled himself when he tore his clothes and wept over what he read in the book of the law. In God's tender mercy, he indicated through Huldah, King Josiah himself would die before these days of horror appeared. Indeed, Josiah's death occurred in 609 BC, 4 years before Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem. Just one good leader can put off destruction and give the organization they lead, whether a family, a department, a church, or a country, a little bit more time to turn back to God. Where are you a leader? How should leaders use their position of power to influence those who follow them? Pastor Black talks about this all the time. If ain't nobody following you, you ain't leading nobody but yourself. We have to be mindful of who we follow. Are we following godly leaders or are we following false leaders?
Yeah, those, you know what I mean, that are wolves in sheep's clothing. Yeah. Jesus told his disciples, he said, to behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, but be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. We have the mind of Christ to recognize, are we being led by godly leadership or are we being led by worldly leadership? Even in the Old Testament times on how the government was and how the kingdom was, you had some that rose in wickedness and you had some that rose in righteousness. That's a question that we have to pose today. Where is our leaders leading us? Are they leading us to a lifetime of wickedness and condemnation in hell, separated from God for all eternity? Or are they leading us in the pathways of righteousness and truth in order for us to receive that righteous crown when the Lord appears and said, well done, good and faithful servant. There is a place for you in heaven with my Father. And if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. From this lesson, the main verse that I want to point out is verse 19. We hear it when we pray, when we ask God for forgiveness. The prayers of a righteous availeth much. And that's what God is calling us on, not to have a righteousness of our own, not to be whitewashed tombs, you know, looking around and going in public places and having those appearances as godliness, but inside, we are spiritually dead. This is the response that God is wanting for us, to say that we are sorry. We humble ourselves before the Lord. When we hear his word and the Spirit ministers to us, we hear what the Spirit is speaking. Either the Spirit is encouraging us to continue on the righteous path, or the Spirit is saying, hold up, watch up. You done made a mistake here. You can't hold on to that. In order to live in spirit and truth, we have to be authentic. And it's not just being real with ourselves and real with others, but it's being real with our relationship that we have with God Most High, who created all things through Christ Jesus in order for us to have peace with him. What can we learn from Hoda the prophetess? What can we learn from Josiah? Over this liberating lesson, you may feel overwhelmed and inundated by the amount of information from 24/7, 365 news cycle. From those sources, it seems culture is on the wrong track. We look for reliable commentators and analysis to help us understand the events of the day. We know there must be some absolute moral standards, but are not always sure where to look for them. The biblical teaching in this area is fairly straightforward. Yet surprisingly, Christians allow the world to steer their affections and compromise their values. Too many church leaders have forsaken the awesome task of making the word of God known to the world today. Thank God for those Christian leaders who faithfully teach, preach, and live the word in our urban society today. They crying in the streets. We see it in Proverbs where it says wisdom goes out. But the God of this world has blinded the minds and hearts of the people in order for them to be awakened, so therefore they can realize what it is that we are all missing. Christ, the only one that holds all things together. Christ Jesus. Paul says it. He says, in my weakness, that's when I will boast in order for the power of Christ to shine down upon me. God is asking us to be humble. He knows we don't have all the answers. He knows we make mistakes. He knows there's going to be trials and tribulations. But he has already warned us and told us in his word. But he's told us the plans that he has for us are not for evil, but for the good.
all things work together for the good in Christ Jesus for those who know God and love God and are known by God. Application for activation. When was the last time you consulted with the Lord by way of his word? It is so important that we study and meditate on God's word daily. The Bible tells us to study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. One of the most important ways we commune with God is through his word. If we don't have a consistent Bible study time, we can get rusty in our study habits. The message the holder to the king was, I want a personal relationship with you, like I had with your fathers before you. By King Josiah having a personal relationship with God, the leader over God's people, that godly leader was ministering to all God's people of how all God's people are supposed to live for him. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. God is showing us through his word, and he empowers us through his spirit. Are we going to consult with God and ask him for advice? He says it in his word, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its own problems. Being sufficient for today. God is just wanting us to reach out to him, call on him. So therefore, we know that the life that we live and lead and the life that we have with others will be a pleasing aroma to God in order for all to be saved. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you for your servants, O Heavenly Father, the prophetess Hoda, O Heavenly Father, and your servant King Josiah, O Heavenly Father. O Heavenly Father, from these lessons, we cry out to you. Father, forgive us. O Heavenly Father, we tear our clothes, O Heavenly Father, in despair. Thank you for bringing to remembrance, O Heavenly Father, where we have fallen. But we thank you for your grace, O Heavenly Father, that because of your grace and mercy through Christ Jesus, O Heavenly Father, we may have eternal peace with you, O Heavenly Father, no longer separated, no longer called illegitimate children. But we glorify you, Abba Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say thank you. And in Jesus' name we say amen. Now for our benediction.
Amen. What an awesome word, Elder Farmer. Thank you so much.
Amen.
For bringing that word to light for us. And I'm going to ask us the last half of our application before Brother Mays gives us our benediction. I'm going to ask that we would do the last half of this lesson. Application for activation told us to spend 15 minutes a day this week studying the Bible. I'm going to ask us to study 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. Every day this week, you should spend 15 minutes reading or listening to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. Then I'm going to ask you to write down any questions that come up while you're reading. Any questions that you may have about this passage of scripture. And then join me on Wednesday night at 6:45 as we come together to discuss your questions. to give people answers. This passage is talking about how to live holy. And we are living in such a perilous time. We are now experiencing God's wrath. We've got violence. We've got racism. We've got sexism. We've got capitalism running rampant in our city, our state, and our nation. And what the people of God need to do is live holy, be accountable, so that we will be able to stand during all of this that's taking place. So what I'm asking is that you would study this passage of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. Spend 15 minutes every day. That's just Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's just 4 days. Spend 15 minutes reading this. Then join Wednesday night at 6:45 as we study this scripture, answer any questions that you may have. If I don't have the answer, Elder Farmer's on the line, Elder Manyweather's on the line, Brother Farrell's on the line, Mother Kimmins is on the line, Deacon Gwen is on the line, Mother Mays is on the line. We're all on the line to help us get a good understanding of what it means to live holy. So I want you to do that for the application of this lesson. Amen. I now yield this call over to Brother Mays to give us our benediction. Thank you so much, Elder Farmer.
I'll be reading Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
I've been quiet for way too long. I can't fight it. No, no more. Got a story and it's